Verse 46 through 40. And I got some announcements, but I'll mention that on the back end of today. Matthew 12, 46 through 40. Here's what it says. While he was still speaking with the crowds, his mother and brothers were standing outside wanting to speak to him. And someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside waiting to speak to you." And he replied to the one who was speaking to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So I want to preach from this theme and thought. Y'all know we've been in this series on relationships. So I want to preach from this theme and thought today as we continue this series on relationships. Calling today's message, check your connections. Check your connections. Tell the person beside you, check your connections. Find somebody else and ask them, how's your connections? Father, we thank you for your favor and grace. Thank you for your presence. We thank you for your rich presence here today. We thank you for a greater awareness of your presence. You're always moving. You're always working. But we're not always seeing. But we thank you that this morning you've opened up our eyes to see you in a new way, to see you in a fresh way. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that as we submit ourselves to your word, that you would do a new thing on the inside of us. Would you remove distractions, things that might get in the way of us hearing your word, whether online or in person, in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Amen. You all can be seated. Check your connections. Amen. To all of our online family, we say a big welcome to you all joining us. Thank y'all so much for joining us. Come on, church family. Can we bless God for our online family? Amen. And we had some technical difficulties. We were running into these different issues, and I always believe it's a lot of it's spiritual warfare. But shout out to our production team for getting our stream online. Bless God for them. So faithful. And thank God for our worship team as well, leading us in worship this morning. Y'all bless God. Amen. So glad that everyone is just so faithful and making themselves available. And so I'm excited as we continue this series, Relationships That Work. There's no need for me to talk about what happened last Sunday at the Super Bowl, so I won't stay there because there's more important things here in the Word of God that we need to get to. And so we're here in Matthew chapter 12. I'm spiritual today, y'all. I'm just letting y'all know. I'm tapping into the spirit. I don't have time for fleshly things today. I don't have time for this. I'm hungry and thirsty for righteousness today. I'll pray for you, Pastor. But we've been in this series over these past few weeks called Relationships That Work, because oftentimes our relationships don't work. They don't work the way that God maybe designed them and created them to function and to work. And so unfortunately what happens sometimes is we end up settling for just simply what's functioning when we could actually experience something that could flourish. And as we've gone throughout these past few weeks, you've seen it and we've heard it. We've talked about how we need to do it God's way. And then last week, we talked about the secret to successful relationships. And today, I want to go a little bit deeper, and next week as well, and get a little bit more nuanced and specific when it comes to looking at these connections or these relationships that we have. And when I think about what's happening here in Matthew 12, I thought about this word connection. And as I think about that word connection, there's a few things that come to mind, but one of them that comes to mind is Wi-Fi and internet. And I'm going to ask this a question. Have you ever tried to send an email or order online or get on an app, and then you receive a prompt like this that we have, I think, right here on the screen? Y'all ever seen that? That is one of the most stressful, like, depressing screens to pop up, either on your phone, your tablet, or your computer. And it's interesting because it says, there is no internet connection. Your computer is offline. Watch this. Which means it is still functioning, but not at the level that it could be. It is working, but it is not working properly. And one of the things I like what it says here, it says, try checking the network cable or router. Reset the modem or router. Reconnect to the Wi-Fi. Which means that for some of us, if you know anything about this, that means I got to go to the router and unplug it. Wait 15 seconds. You know, every time I do that, you know, one thing that comes to mind, I might kind of show my age just a tad bit here, but before there was a PS5, before there was a Xbox One and a new Xbox, and before there was, a Sega Saturn, and before there was even a Super Nintendo or Sega Genesis, there was Nintendo. And there would be some times where you might be playing Duck Hunt or Super Mario Brothers, and the game would all of a sudden freeze up on you. And so one of the things that you would have to do to help it get along and to help it work properly was if you hit the reset button and it still didn't work, you would have to open up the cover of the Nintendo, and then you would have to take out the cartridge and do this. You got to blow on it. Anybody, come on, where am I at? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of our middle school, high school students, you're like, what? You had to do what? That doesn't make any sense at all. The struggle was real, y'all. But you had to reset. You had to do something different. You had to check these connections because something was not working properly. And one of the worst things to happen is when you absolutely need your Wi-Fi and you don't have any connection. You're trying to put something on Instagram, you're trying to upload a TikTok video, and that circle is not moving at all. It stopped at 5%. Or the little prompt pops up at the bottom of your screen that says no internet connection. One of the things that's so frustrating is not having the internet connection. You have no connection, or maybe you have a weak connection. So you have the right components, you got a great phone, you got a great tablet, and you got a great laptop, but the problem is you don't have a strong signal. And so because you don't have a strong signal, you can't access the internet the way, or online, the way that you want to. Here's a question I'm going to ask us in light of that. How are your connections right now in life? How are your connections? Do you get the low signal prompt? Do you get the strong signal connected? Or do you get what we have on the screen, no connection? I think this is worthwhile for us to begin to think about and to ask ourselves the question, do we have weak connections? And when I mean connections, I'm talking about relationships. Or do we have strong ones? Do we have good ones, or do we have bad ones? Because here's what I've recognized, and you all know this about Wi-Fi, especially during 2020 when all of us were at home. I remember we were at home and all the kids were there and they gave all of our kids laptops and they had to use the laptops, and we started recognizing we were having some internet issues. Our internet was moving extremely slow because there was too many people accessing the Wi-Fi. That's a word right there. That may be part of the reason why your life is not advancing as swiftly as it could is because you got too many people having access to you. Or maybe people have access in a way that they should not have access. Isn't it interesting how we'll have passwords for our Wi-Fi, but we won't have security for our hearts? You got password encrypted passwords. You got firewall after firewall. But we'll let anybody and everybody walk into our life and do whatever it is that they want to do with our life and with our heart. Could it be that the reason why some of us are frustrated in life right now is because we have bad connections and relationships? Could it be that the reason why we're not moving forward the way we desire is because of bad connections? Come on, tell the person beside you, check your connections. Could it be that the reason why we're not experiencing God's best in our lives is because of bad connections? And when I think about this word connection, comes back to Matthew chapter 12, because in this passage, Jesus is having this conversation. He's talking. He's been preaching. And then the Bible says in verse 46 that while he was still speaking with the crowds, his mother and brothers, his family, were standing outside wanting to speak to him. And then someone comes to him and says, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. Now, Jesus' mother was Mary, and his brothers, many of you didn't know that Jesus had relatives. Obviously, Joseph, as we know from Scripture, Joseph was not his actual father, per se. He was adopted earthly father. His father was God the Father, who, through the power of the Spirit, impregnated Mary, which then brought forth this incredible, miraculous conception in the form of Jesus coming through her womb as a virgin. But Mary and Joseph did have other kids. And so on the surface, it looks as if Jesus has many different family members. And a man comes telling Jesus that his family is looking for him and wants to speak with him. But I want you to notice what Jesus says. Who is my mother and my brother? Now, this is a cold statement on the surface. This looks brutal. Man comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, your family, they're looking for you. And Jesus says, who is my family? Jesus, why you got to get so deep? Your mama looking for you. James and them are looking for you. But Jesus says, who is my mother and brother? Initially, it sounds as if Jesus is disowning his family. But in all actuality, what he is doing is he is addressing what true relationships look like. He is, on one level, he's emphasizing the importance of spiritual family, meaning the family of God. Because we have our earthly family, but then as believers, we have our eternal family. And it is our eternal family that will not just be present in this life, but will also be present in the next life. Now, if my earthly family is a part of that eternal family, bless God, it's awesome. But if my earthly family is not a part of that eternal family, it should cause my heart to break to want to see them to be a part of my eternal family. Does that make sense? Which is why we say, you need to invite people to church. You need to share your story with your family. You need to share about Jesus with your family member. I know they get on your nerves, and I know you don't really like them. But man, if you lead them to Jesus, you might actually start liking them. No amens. Okay, it's all right. Some of y'all are like, I don't care nothing about my family. I don't even want them to come to my church. Gonna pray for you. Because Jesus loves them too. No matter how dysfunctional they are. And you could actually be the dysfunctional person that you're talking about. I'll keep moving. But what we gain from this passage, family, I believe, is an understanding, not just of spiritual relationships, but also what is present here in this passage of Scripture are principles of wisdom that I believe we can use in everyday relationships. That when it comes to relationships, here's what I've recognized, that we oftentimes, we struggle with them because we don't possess the wisdom in navigating them. So the one thing that we need to be asking God for, James 1 says it like this, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God for it, and he will richly and generously provide it for you. And a lot of times, we don't practice wisdom in relationships, but I recognize that the reason why we oftentimes don't practice wisdom in relationships is because we don't possess the wisdom of relationships. So what we need to constantly be doing is asking God, God, would you give me wisdom as to how to navigate these relational dynamics that I have? And I think what we learn from Jesus is something powerful. From just his few statements here. And it's interesting because when I look at this passage of Scripture, Jesus is talking about a whole lot of things prior to this moment, and he's talking about a whole bunch of different things after this moment. And it's almost as if this passage has nothing to do with anything. It's almost like this is the most random thing, but it's not the most random thing. I believe it is divinely set up by the Holy Spirit of God here in the pages of Scriptures so that way we can understand how to navigate relationships of all kinds, whether they are marital, familial, friendship, whether it's a roommate, a coworker, a teammate, a classmate. I believe that Jesus gives us some principles here from his statements that if we pay attention to them, we can not only possess them, but we can practice them. In the words of the great Allen Iverson, we're talking about practice. It's time for us to practice some wisdom. So what do we learn from Jesus when it comes to relationships of all kinds? Here's one thing that we learned from Jesus that he had when it came to relationships. Are you ready for it? Here's the first thing. Jesus had clarity in his relationships. Somebody say clarity. That is what he wants us to have. Clarity. Notice here in verse 48 that when this man approaches him, when somebody approaches him, they say, Jesus, your family is looking for you. Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. And Jesus replies, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Why is this so important? Because do you know what Jesus is doing here? He is asking a clarifying question. Who is really my brother and my sister? Now, he knows the answer, but they don't. But by him asking this question, it begins to open up the opportunity for clarification. And sometimes the reason why our connections are not what they could be is because we're not clear on what they should be. We don't have clarity. And this question that Jesus asks, it begs for clarity. Let me say it like this. It begs for examination. So a question like this causes us to begin to reflect on the relationships that we have. And one of the many things that we see with Jesus here is that he was clear on who was who in his life. There was no confusion over who was who in his life, who they were to him, and who he was to them. There was no question on who the people were in his life, but then also his ministry. Here's what this means for us, that you and I need to evaluate and examine the relationships in our lives. What do I mean by that? Ask questions like, is this relationship good for me? Is this relationship adding any value to my life? Am I adding value to it? Let's ask a basic question. Is it really working? Come on, can we be rid of that? We gotta ask these real difficult questions. Is this really working? Or better yet, is it working properly? Is it functioning or is it flourishing? That's what we need to ask. So let me get a little bit more specific because y'all looking at me crazy. The person I'm dating, should I really be dating this person? The person I'm thinking about hollering at, should I really holler at them? Like, should I really? I know they look good, but is there more to the surface than that? Should I really be friends with this person? I mean, they're funny and all, but every time I get around them, I get in trouble. I make dumb decisions. Y'all ain't talking to me today. It's hard. Y'all had a whole lot in worship. But this is still worship. Am I as close? The person that I call my friend, are we really as close as we say we are? Here's what I'm saying. Do you know who's who in your life? Do you have clarity on who is who? Every relationship in your life is doing something. The question is, what is it doing? So let me give you a few scriptures. Here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says to show you why it's important to understand this. It says this in 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good morals or good character. Bad company corrupts good morals or good character. So in other words, I could have people in my life that are not good for me. Let me say this. They might be good, they just might not be good for you. Here's what Proverbs 27 says. Iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens another. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Which means this, y'all, that my relationships are either adding value to me or not. This relationship is either good for me or it is not. And you can look across the board, all of your relationships, I don't care who it is that you're dating, your best friend, your boo, your bae, your spouse, there is something that we have to ask and examine. Is this really bearing fruit? Is this helpful? Is it harmful? Is this building me up or is this tearing me down? Let's turn the mirror on ourselves even more. Am I being a good, faithful friend or a bad one? Am I being a faithful spouse or an unfaithful one? Am I being a healthy coworker or am I an unhealthy and toxic one? We gotta have clarity. Everybody say clarity. And part of the reason why we struggle in relationships is because we don't have clarity in our relationships. We don't have clarity. Some of y'all know who's who. When Jesus asked this question, it's not because he's trying to discover. He knows exactly who they are. But this question is more so to bring something to the surface. So we need to ask questions of our relationships to bring things to the surface. Is this helpful? Is it edifying? Is it building me up? Is it tearing me down? But Pastor, we have been friends for so long. Just because you've been friends for so long don't mean it's been so good. Like, we got to examine things. We got to look at things for what they are. Here's the second thing that I want us to see that Jesus does here. Not only does he have clarity in relationships, which is what we need. Here's the second thing, and this is where it's going to get really rough. Y'all ready for it? We're going to come off of air in a moment, but I'm going to let you know it's going to get rough. He not only has clarity in relationships, he has categories for his relationships. So look at verse 49. After he says, who is my mother, who are my brothers? The Bible says, verse 49, he pointed to his disciples and said, look, here are my mother and my brothers. Now, clearly, those disciples were all men, so he did not mean that Peter was his mama. That's not what he's talking about here. But what he is doing here is he is defining his relationships. He did not point to his earthly family when he said this, y'all. He pointed to the disciples. He pointed to his spiritual family and defined them as family. He's categorizing who was his family and who wasn't by this simple statement. But let me help you understand what he's not doing. He was not demeaning his family. He was defining them. He was not demeaning his mama and his brothers. He was simply defining what was and what wasn't. He had categories. This is my family. This is not. Family is not about just who's related to you by blood. Because you can have blood-related family members that are toxic. That aren't godly. And it doesn't mean that you disown them. It just simply means you need to define them. And some of us might, like, this is a little uncomfortable for us because, like, Pastor, I gotta put my relationships in categories? Yes, that's the wise thing to do. Because just because you think that y'all could get along doesn't mean that you'll actually get along. Like, just because you like the idea of y'all being friends does not mean that y'all compatible. I gotta define them. I gotta have categories. Somebody say categories. And here's the thing. In Jesus' time while he was on earth, family, there were certain people that were permitted to see him in different ways. I'm gonna show y'all how Jesus has categories, right? Just from an eternal perspective. When you go to the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 2, the Bible says this. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves to be alone. He was transfigured in front of them. How many disciples did Jesus have? 12. But how many did he take with him here? 3. So here's what we see in Jesus' relationships. There were some people that had access to him in other ways that other people did not. Let's pull the scripture back up. You don't see that he took Judas up to this mountain with him. Stay your tail right over there. You don't get to see this, bruh. He took Peter, James, and John. And oftentimes in Scripture, you'll constantly see Jesus, Peter, James, and John, because in the midst of Jesus having an outer circle, he also had what we might refer to as an inner circle. He was cool with all of them, but he had different levels of relationship. Somebody say there's levels to this. In other words, the way he was with Peter, James, and John was not necessarily the way he was with everybody else. They saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Bible says that he was transfigured before them. So here's what's crazy. Peter, James, and John see Jesus in his highest moment. But then later on in Scripture, when Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, and the Bible says he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prays this prayer three times. If it's possible, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, let yours be done. He prays this prayer three times. Do you know who he took with him to that place? Peter, James, and John. Here's the principle. They saw him in his highest moment and in his lowest moment. Can I say this respectfully? Everybody can't handle your highs and lows. Family, everybody can't go with you to certain places. And that's okay, because they weren't meant to. But a lot of times what happens is we don't have categories. We don't define these relationships. So because of that, our relationships don't function at the level that they could be. Here's another scripture in Matthew 25. This is when Jesus is talking about him in glory. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them, categorize them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Do you see these categories here? Sheep and goats. So if this is true when it comes to eternal relationships, why would it not be true when it comes to earthly ones? Why would we not apply the same wisdom to our earthly everyday relationships? Now, please hear me. What I am not saying is that you just go disown your family. Some of y'all are like, see, I knew I didn't like you, and Pastor told me, according to Jesus, it's okay for us to never talk again. No, that is not what I said. Do not put my name, put some respect on my name, because I did not say that. I did not say that, because here's what I'm saying. When you define them, then you understand your purpose and role in their life. You got to be connected to people, because here's God's desire. His desire is for all people to come to know him, and he calls us to be ambassadors. So we still have to have some semblance of connection to all people. The question is, what kind of connection? And if we don't understand the kind of connection and the kind of definitions and defining these relationships, and if we don't categorize people in our lives, we'll end up allowing people to occupy the wrong seats in our lives. So let me say it like this. You end up dating people that you should only be friends with. You end up marrying the wrong person. You weren't supposed to marry them. Y'all was just supposed to be cool. Nobody's going to say amen to that. My God. You end up being friends with somebody you were just supposed to be a co-worker with. So we don't have the wisdom. So because we don't have the wisdom, we just lump everybody together. Or we work together, that means we're going to be best friends. No, because what you don't see is you won't be able to trust them. Somebody say categories. Now, here's what I'm saying. What I'm not trying to help us be, what I'm not saying is that we should be suspicious of people. That is not God. But we should be selective of people. Two different things. Can I ask you a question? Would you let anybody in your house? Some of y'all are so bad, just like me, where somebody come knock on your door and you look out the window, both cars in front of the driveway, I ain't opening this up. I look right at them, you just gonna have to go to the next house, bro. I'm not even gonna waste my time opening up this door. Some of y'all are like, but Pastor, they might need Jesus. You right, and he's gonna use somebody else to get them to Jesus. I'm just joking. P- Pastor, you're missing an opportunity. I might be in Jesus' name, but, you know, I don't feel like talking to y'all right now. Eating my food. I'm watching TV, you know. Chilling. My point in saying that is there's levels. You don't give everybody access. Right? Like, there's a reason why you put a front door. There's a door on your living place. So that way everybody don't have access. So then why don't we apply that same measure of wisdom when it comes to our relationships? Why don't we just let everybody have access to us? But Pastor, they're my family. I don't care if they're your family or not. Maybe they're not supposed to have access to your heart the way that you think. Can I say it like this? Everybody that's your kin is not your kind. You do realize that, right? And just because y'all work together doesn't mean you should do life together. Some things are just best if you're just going to keep it right here. We got a good working relationship and we're just going to keep it right here. This is not going to bleed over into personal lives. We got to be able to have categories. Because if not, we end up blending things together and we don't have clarity. So now what happens is we have expectations of certain relationships that we should not have because they should not have been in place in the first place. So then we get our hearts broke. I wonder how many broken hearts have happened because we simply did not have the wisdom to say, I don't need to date this person. We just need to be coworkers. Like, how much pain have we experienced unnecessarily? We're going to walk through pain that we just can't avoid. But how much unnecessary pain have we experienced simply because we didn't have what Darius Daniels calls relational intelligence? You got IQ, but don't have RQ. IQ, all about your smarts, intellect. LQ, leadership, intelligence. But we don't have RQ, relational intelligence. Matter of fact, in his book, Relational Intelligence, here's one of the things that he says. He says, we owe everyone equal love, but we do not owe everyone equal access. So let me say it like this in my translation. I love everybody the same, but I don't trust everybody the same. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I love unconditionally. Love is free, but trust is earned. Do y'all remember the scripture in Matthew chapter 25? Matter of fact, in the same book where Jesus talks about this parable and how the master gives these different coins and these different talents to different servants. To one servant, he gave 5 talents. To another servant, he gave 2. To another servant, he gave 1. What is he doing here? He is categorizing. This is for you. This is for you. This is for you. Now, the problem is when we give 5 talents to the one who can't even handle 1 talent. And the other problem is when we give maybe 1 talent to the person who was actually supposed to have 5. Because we don't have the wisdom. So now we end up entrusting our emotions to the wrong people. We entrust our hopes and dreams to the wrong person. We entrust access. We give people access that really should not have access. Now here's what I want you to understand. Somebody needs to have full access to your life because if not, you are in trouble. Even Batman and Bruce Wayne had an Alfred. You need somebody who can see you when you take off the mask. That you ain't Superman or Superwoman to them. You just Clark Kent. You're not Wonder Woman to them. You need people who can see you for who you are. And that's not a lot of people. How do we know that? Because Jesus didn't even do that for all of his disciples. He was very selective and careful with who he allowed to experience these greater parts of himself to see things that other people wouldn't see while he was here on earth. So he shows us something when it comes to navigating these earthly relationships. And And one of the things that Darius Daniels does in his book that is so phenomenal, I encourage all of us to get it. Matter of fact, this Wednesday night, I want to encourage y'all to come back to midweek group because I'm going to talk a little bit more about it. But four categories that Darius Daniels gives that I wanted to share that I think are helpful. His book is phenomenal. Four helpful categories. One is the friend category. These are people that really know you. People that you can trust. But then there's the associate category. People that you might have a common interest with. We work together. We might be family. But just because we're associates does not mean we should be friends. Doesn't mean we should be close. It doesn't mean that you have any ill will or they have ill will to you. It just means that I have a clear understanding of who is who in my life. But then he also gives us a third category, assignments, which are people that God has assigned to us in our lives to pour into. Mentees, if you will. And then this fourth level of relationship that he calls advisor, which means you and I need to have somebody in our life who pours into us. Somebody that we submit to. Somebody that we gain wisdom to. Gain wisdom from. So even though God has called me to shepherd our church as a senior pastor, as a lead pastor, I have pastors that I submit to who ask me questions. How you doing? How's your marriage? How's ministry? What are you struggling with? What do you need prayer about? They are the ones that have full access to me as advisors or as mentors. And these are four different levels of relationships that you see all throughout Scripture. You see friends, you see associates, you see assignments, and you see advisors. But a lot of times, and whether or not you agree with this type of categories of relationships, my question is, so how do you categorize people? Because everybody's not your friend. And unfortunately, some of us have to find out the hard way. Some people are just assignments, like you're just literally there to add value to them. And just because they're your assignment doesn't mean you're supposed to be friends with them. Then some people are just supposed to be your advisor, people that you receive wisdom from. So when you look at these different categories of relationships, I want you to think about where do people fit? Family, coworkers, people that I call friends. And what this may cause some of us to do is examine who's in our life right now. I got some people in the friend category that need to be associates. But then I've misplaced people in the associate category that really are good friends. They need to get moved to the friend zone. And such is the same now, even when we start talking about other types of relationships, when we talk about dating and then even when we talk about marriage. Now, in marriage, your spouse should be in that friend category. High on the list. If they are not high on that list, email me pronto so we can talk. I want to help you. And I'm serious. But we need to have clarity around these relationships. And one of the mistakes that I've made throughout my years and experience pain because of it is not possessing the wisdom to not just know who's in my life, but where to place them in my life. That oftentimes I thought that I was friends with people simply because there was some commonality in certain areas. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're friends. It just means that we have something in common. But just because we have something in common does not mean that we are to be friends. We might like the same team, but it does not mean we should be friends. Come on. We might work in the same place, but it does not mean that we should be best of friends. Let me say it like this. You should be friendly with everybody because it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance, and the spirit, a fruit of the spirit is kindness, not meanness. So we should, because some of y'all going to go out of here and say, I don't got to be friends with nobody, so I'm just going to be mean to everybody. No, fruit of the spirit is kindness. So let me say it like this. Here's one thing that God taught me. He said, son, you got to learn to be friendly with everybody, but be wise over who you befriend. They are different. Be friendly with everybody. Jesus was friendly with everybody. But he didn't take everybody up with him to the Mount Transfiguration. Nor did he take everybody with him when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. So I have to have wisdom. He calls us to be friendly with everyone, but not to befriend everyone. And we need to ask God for clarity and courage to put people in our lives in the right places in our lives. Here's the third thing. I'm going to get us out of here because I know we've been here for a while. That we don't just have clarity in relationship, but also have categories for relationship. Here's the third thing. I need us to get this. You need to have criteria in your relationships. So when we go back to verse 50, notice what Jesus says. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. That's what he says. This is the criteria for what I call family. Anybody who does the will of my Father is my brother, sister, and mother. So here's what Jesus has. He has a standard and a criteria for who occupies what seat in his family and in his life. What is the principle that he's trying to help us understand here? That you and I should have a criteria for relationships in our lives. Whether that is dating, marriage, friendships, family, whatever. There should be a criteria. Let me say it in one word. There should be values. What kind of values do we have? Now, when Jesus says, anyone who does the will of my Father is my brother and sister and mother. They're my family. So the question you got to ask there theologically is, so what's the will of the Father? And Jesus says this in John 6:40. Here's the will of the Father, John 6:40. He says this, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on that day. That's the will of the Father, that every person will believe. He says, the way you get in my family is simple. Believe in me. Believe in what I came to do. I'm so glad that Jesus, though he has a standard for getting in his family, he does not make it difficult to get in his family. And you ought to thank God that Jesus does not make you jump through all the hoops in the world to get in his family. He says, all you got to do is receive me and believe in me. You are saved by grace through faith, not by works, so no person can boast. But it's still a criteria. Because the opposite is true. If you don't believe in me, well, you don't have access to me. If you don't receive me as Lord, you don't get the benefits of the family. And the principle that we learn here is that we should have criteria for our relationships. And what should our criteria for relationships be? What should the values be? Rooted in Scripture. So in other words, what does God have to say about this relationship? Because relationships often don't work properly when either we have no criteria, low criteria, or the wrong criteria. When we don't have the right criteria, or when we have no criteria, or when we have low value criteria, it's not going to work the way God wants it to. And so what happens is we'll end up being friends with anyone. We'll end up dating anyone. Let me be real. You'll end up having sex with anyone. You didn't think I was going there today. As opposed to saying, God, what does your word say about this? What does your word say about sexual intimacy? What does your word say about marriage? What does your word say about dating? What does your word say about friendships? What does your word say about how the family should function? What does your word say? And a lot of times what happens, as I talked about a few weeks ago, we use culture's manual, not Scripture's manual. And God has given us a manual. He says, hey, listen, if you want to be able to experience the abundant life of flourishing and thriving relationships, you got to do it my way. Your criteria has to be connected to my Scriptures. Because if not, what happens is you're going to experience heartbreak unnecessarily. What happens is you're going to have people who burn you that you should have never been connected to. You're going to trust your emotions and your heart to the wrong people who don't have wisdom in gifting to steward it properly. And let's be honest, if we look in our lives, how many times have we had either poor criteria, low criteria, or no criteria? We got a low standard. Can I encourage you with this? You are a daughter of the Most High God. You are a son of the King. Don't lower yourself to compromise yourself to be with somebody. No, 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 no. Don't you settle for less than what God has for you. No, no. You set the standard here, and whoever rises to it is the person that you're supposed to connect it to. Don't lower your standard for the sake of a connection. God says, my criteria is proven. My criteria works. Have the right criteria. Here's what 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 15 says. This is going to mess us up. Do not be yoked together with those who do not believe. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship does light have with darkness? A yoke is a term that was used to describe how animals will oftentimes work together in a field. A yoke was a device that was placed around the necks of usually an oxen of some kind. And so the imagery that Paul is using here when he says don't be yoked together, he says do not be connected in an intimate way and in a close way with people who do not have the value systems of the kingdom. Don't get yoked up with them. Because here's what would happen. If you pair the wrong oxen together, no progress will be made. It will be frustrating. And some of us have been trying to figure out, why is my life not moving forward? Could it be that you are yoked up with the wrong people? Come on, students in here, I'm talking to my young people in here. You got some people right now, you want to be friends with them, but you know good and well they are not good for you. As my mentor would say, they are going nowhere fast. Love them from afar. Hit him with the Heisman joint. We can't be cool. We can't hang out. Because we don't have the same values. Such as the same when it comes to dating and getting in a relationship. What kind of values does this person have? Come on, you love Jesus. They don't. But yet you want to date them with the mentality of maybe my witness will lead them to Christ, so I'm just going to date them and stay with them. I'm here to let you know that is going to be frustrating for you. You can pray for their salvation and not be connected to them in that way. I got to ask myself the question, what's the criteria? Here's what Proverbs 22 says. Don't make friends with an angry person. Don't be a companion of a hot-tempered one, or you will learn his ways and entangle yourself in his snare. Here's what that shows us, that relationships have influence over your life. When I look and trace back to some of the darkest times in my life, I look at who was in my life, who had access to my life, and they were poor influences. If you look in your life and look at some of the darkest times in your life, take inventory who was in your life at that time. Because the Bible says, what fellowship does light and darkness have with one another? And that's not just applicable to marriage. That's everyday relationship. I got to ask myself, who has access to me? What's the criteria? Here's what Proverbs 13:20 says. The one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Some of us in here, I say this respectfully as your pastor. You're not foolish. You just hang around foolish people. And some of y'all will be like, well, that's a foolish person. You said it, not me. Because let me say it like this. You become like who you walk with. So look at who you're walking with. And your life will begin to reflect that. So I got to examine relationships. And every relationship needs to be defined, and therefore every relationship needs boundaries. Every relationship. I'm not calling you to be mean. I'm calling you to be wise. Like to give thought carefully to these relationships that you have in your life, because your relationships are going to determine either how far you go in life or not. One person said it like this, show me your friends and I will show you your future. Who are the people that are close to me in my life? Who has access to me? Am I yoked up with people right now in a certain way that I shouldn't be connected to? Come on, let's be real. Some of y'all are going broke trying to keep up with your friends. So you got to really ask the question, if I got to spend this amount of money for us to be friends, should we really even still be friends? Because I'm going broke. You living your best life, but I'm broke. But what they're not telling you is that they broke too. They just run everything up on credit. Are they adding value to your life? Because when I look at these relationships, y'all, and when we look at them, we got to ask ourselves, do I have criteria? Seriously, look, I'm coming for all of us. I'm an equal offending pastor. Just because they are your frat brother or your sorority sister does not mean y'all supposed to be close. Come on. Like, seriously, just because they're your cousin does not mean they're supposed to be close to you. Because what we're talking about is values. We got different values. I value something different than you value. I'm not saying I'm better than you. I'm just different than you. And you're different than me. So we could be cool. We just might not be close. And that's okay. The problem is when we end up bringing things close to us that weren't supposed to be there. And my prayer is that we would have the wisdom to steward the relationships that God has allowed us to have properly. Let me say it like this. I want you to write this down. That successful relationships don't happen accidentally. They happen intentionally. I have to be intentional about these relationships. And here's another thing. That we can have better relationships when we allow the one who designed them to define them. We got to allow the one who designed them to define the family. We got to go to the one who is wisdom. He is the perfect example of what it means to have true relationships. And as we check our connections, as you examine your life, and as you look at your life this week, today, I hope that this message, I hope God is speaking to us today to get us to think about, man, like, you know what? People that I thought was really friends, they're not faithful. Married couples, when you begin to examine your life, I want you to begin to ask yourself the question. I'm not telling you what to do with your relationship in the sense of leaving them, staying them. That's not what this is about. What I'm asking you to do is I want you to examine the quality of life that your marriage has. Are we moving down the same path? Are we going to examine that? And I got to begin to pray, God, give me wisdom. How do I navigate this? Because I know that some of us, we struggle in some of those areas. But here's what I know. God gives wisdom to be able to navigate that. We got to come back to him. Somebody say, come back to him. That's what it's about. And we got to let him be the one to define them. You got to check your connections. Because when Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, Jesus also wants you and I to have experiences of abundance when it comes to relationships. I don't believe that Jesus wants you to experience his goodness and joy just between you and him and not have fruitful relationships. I believe that he wants you to have incredible friendships with people that you can trust. I believe that he wants you to have a thriving marriage, not a perfect marriage, but a flourishing one. I believe that he wants you to have a great relationship with your children and children to have a great relationship with your parents. I believe that God wants you to be able to experience his grace and his abundance with your coworkers and with classmates and with roommates. I believe that. You got to do it his way. I want to invite us all to stand to our feet in this moment. That we will be these people who check our connections. That we will be a people who say, you know what? I'm not going to do it my way any longer. I'm going to do it his way. I'm going to examine these things. I'm going to start having a standard. That everybody can't be close to me. And that's okay. That everybody can't have access to me. And that's okay. I don't need to have access to everybody else, and that's okay. But that we would get clarity and begin to have categories for different relationships, and that we would have this criteria or this standard that is rooted in Scripture. But here's the thing that I want us all to know, that your earthly connections will never be right until your eternal connection is first. Your everyday relationships will not be right until your eternal relationship with your Father is. So the connection that you need to check more than anything else, first and foremost, is your connection with God. Can I ask you this question? Where are you right now in your relationship with God? Is it a weak signal? Is it a pretty strong signal? Is there no signal at all? But here's the good news. No matter if it's weak, low, or non-existent, his signal is always still available. It's always present. And all he's asking us to do is to connect with him or to reconnect with him. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today, you hear this word about examining connections. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, my connection with Jesus is low. My connection with Jesus is not as strong as it should be. I don't have a connection maybe with Jesus at all. If you're here this morning and you're saying, today though, I want a connection with him. I want to be connected to him for the first time, or maybe to be reconnected with him in a new way. If this is you, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, on the count of three, I want you to shoot your hand up. If this is you, you want to reconnect with him, or you want to connect with him for the first time? If this is you, on the count of three, shoot up your hand. One, two, three. That's you. That's you. You want to reconnect with him, or you want to connect with him for the first time? Come on. Some of you might be here and you don't have a relationship with him. Today he's calling you. He said, today I want connection with you. And if this is you this morning, you're saying, I want to come to him. I want to be connected to him. I want to be reconnected to him. I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being my Lord. Thank you for your love. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen.